From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Matt Baskin, in for Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where members of Massachusetts' small Afghan community are reacting to the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Taliban's takeover. Many are hoping for help for loved ones still in Afghanistan. WBUR's Simone Rios joins us now to talk about what he's hearing from local Afghans. Hey, Simone.
Hey, Matt.
So you spent time yesterday connecting with some immigrants from Afghanistan who've settled in the Boston area. What's on their minds right now at this incredibly tense moment in their home country?
So there's an overwhelming sense of heartache from the people I spoke to. I spoke to two people yesterday. Neither of them would use their full names because of concern for family in the country, family they're trying to get over here. But one gentleman who goes by Naj, he's a local business owner. He told me yesterday he had just spoken to his mom, and the whole family is holed up in their house in Kabul, waiting for their visa applications to go through. They'd been waiting, actually, for, I believe, 9 or 10 years for their visa applications to go through. And now, with the U.S. embassy closing, they don't know what's going to happen with that process.
The whole family, they're just waiting. I don't know how long. I wish somebody can do something, you know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to them.
Naj's family and tens of thousands of Afghans are counting on the U.S. now to spearhead some kind of refugee policy. And yesterday, several policies did come out of the administration. That includes $500 million for getting Afghans out of the country, as well as plans to host some 20,000 refugees at bases here in Texas and Wisconsin.
So that's what the Biden administration has in mind for what would happen here in the U.S. What did the people you spoke with say about their hopes for Afghanistan's future?
Yeah, so in the case of Naj, the person we heard from before, he wants a new military presence in the country, an international coalition of sorts. And he feels that if the U.S. had stayed a bit longer, another year, or even until the end of this year, that the Afghan government somehow would have gotten it all together with more time to prepare for the withdrawal. But the other person I spoke to, her name, her nickname is Safi. She said it's not up to the U.S. to stay in Afghanistan any longer.
We should make ourselves stronger. I mean, as a citizen of Afghanistan, we should make ourselves stronger. We shouldn't be relying only on like an army. We shouldn't be relying on only on one person. We should be taking our action by ourselves.
You know, another question I asked is whether they think the Taliban needs to be overthrown now. In Safi's case, she said she doesn't see how that could happen. So she's just hoping that the Taliban doesn't return to its horrific practices in the years leading up to the U.S. invasion, like not allowing women to work or girls to study and whipping and beheading people to get their points across.
Has anybody expressed any anger or bitterness towards the United States for being in Afghanistan in the first place these past nearly 20 years?
The sense that I got was that people, at least the two people I spoke to, were grateful that the U.S. had been there. Many people are very traumatized by the period in the 1990s when the Taliban was in power, and they don't want to see them come back. The U.S. presence there allowed these things for women to enter the workforce and to go to school. And people here and there are afraid that the Taliban returning to power could mean going back to those dark times. But I also wanted to speak with U.S. service members who served in Afghanistan. One of them I talked to today was Andrew Carleen of Quincy. He served alongside an army group in 2012 that was tasked with controlling IEDs in the country, improvised explosive devices. He said he wasn't surprised at all by the fall of the government. He was surprised by how quickly it happened, but the fact that the government fell really resonated with his own experience in Afghanistan.
I have a vivid memory of a Afghan junior officer grilling one of his senior commanders about why have none of my men who've been killed, why have their families not been taken care of? We were lucky to be sitting next to a translator. He turned to me and he said, you know, who does take care of their fallen? The Taliban.
Now Carlene says he's blown away just by the prodigious waste of treasure and lives that went into making Afghanistan a better country, and not just on the U.S. side. He remembers all kinds of Afghans that truly wanted to make Afghanistan a better place, and now there's a sense that any progress that was made over this 20-year occupation could be gone.
Well, Simone, it's heavy stuff. Thank you for sharing all this with us.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
That's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. Before we go, I should let you know what else is up. The Massachusetts Immigration and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, MIRA, is urging the Biden administration to help refugees and asylum seekers from Afghanistan as well as Haiti, which is still reeling from this weekend's earthquake that left more than 1,000 people dead. MIRA Communications Director Daniel Pereira says the U.S. has an obligation to assist.
You know, we've intervened in Haiti in the past. We've been intervening in Afghanistan for the last two decades. So, you know, I think it's important for the U.S. government to see its responsibility there.
MIRA wants President Biden to expand and expedite the Afghan Special Immigration Visa Program and to provide additional humanitarian aid to Haiti. Meantime, a local charity says that so far, getting help to Haitians in need has been extremely hard. Jim Ansara runs Build Health International, a Beverly-based nonprofit that built Haiti's largest hospital and pitched in after the country's devastating 2010 earthquake. Ansara says that rampant violence is making it dangerous to travel on roads to the hardest-hit areas.
We simply can't get through, so the only way to bypass it is by boat or by plane or helicopter.
Build Health International does have a team of workers already on the ground in Haiti, setting up a temporary trauma and surgery center for people injured in this weekend's earthquake. Other local groups trying to get aid to Haiti include Violence in Boston and the Freedom Fighters Coalition, which are asking for donations of items like first aid kits, hygiene products, and diapers. The Haiti Development Institute, in partnership with the Boston Foundation, is asking for financial contributions. Finally, Governor Charlie Baker is standing by his decision not to issue a statewide mask mandate, even as the CDC has found that every county in Massachusetts is at high or substantial risk of COVID transmission. Baker says that thanks to the state's relatively high vaccination rate, the number of COVID cases and hospitalizations in Massachusetts are much lower than the rest of the country.
You can't look at the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and look at our vaccination rate, our hospitalization rate, and compare it to where the rest of the country is.
The state's seven-day positive test rate for COVID is down at least slightly, coming in at just over 2.7%. That's still more than double the rate reported a month ago, and more than 400 people are currently hospitalized with COVID in Massachusetts, the highest total in more than 3 months. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Matt Baskin. Be well. I want to tell you about Nova Now, a new bi-weekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Now is more critical than ever to distinguish fact from fiction and find science-based answers to the most pressing questions of our time. Subscribe to Nova Now wherever you get your podcasts.